Great to see all you beautiful faces back in the room there. We had a wonderful time at Thrive. How many people went to Thrive? Yeah, it was amazing. We just I was inspired by the classes, by the fellowship. Just God really powerfully worked through all the speakers there. I was amazed at how God just put every element together to make it so effective for all our needs. Everything I've heard from everyone that went was, this was probably the best conference they've ever been to. And so I commend the Boston Church for spearheading that effort, but a lot of people here in New York also helped out to plan it, and just want to really thank, if you were a part of that planning team, thank you so much for doing it. Just want you to know that the classes and the keynote speeches are all online. Let me give you the website. It's Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, N-E-C-C, New England Christian Conference. So Thrive, Northeastern Christian Conference. So Thrive, T-H-R-I-V-E, N-E-C-C.com. Please go there. The class is great. Everything's free. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to pay a membership fee. It's all free to get it. And if you did go to Thrive, Dave Mitchell has been sending out what he's calling the 30 days after Thrive. And he's calling it how to keep your Thrive alive. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. How to keep your Thrive alive. And he's asking some great questions. Things like, what is something that has encouraged me about, or something that has encouraged me about the conference was? A takeaway or two from this conference is, an aha moment happened to me when I realized. If I had to narrow down the challenge or the changes that I will make to one or two things, they would be. And then finally, the person I'm going to share these answers with is. And these are really great questions. So if you did go to Thrive and you're not getting it, please contact them, because that is something that you should be getting from Dave Mitchell. But I think that one of the things that we as disciples constantly need to be reminded of, I need to be reminded of this probably 100 times a day at the moment, is it's not your circumstances that will make you thrive, but it's your choices within those circumstances that will make you thrive. And if things are all going well, you don't even have to think about that because your circumstances are great. It's like, whoa, who, you know, you're not even on that track. But when your circumstances aren't great, you got some choices to make. And the choices are circumstances or choices above that, regardless of the circumstances. And so for us to keep our thrive alive, we always need to make the choice of Jesus. Jesus in us. Jesus living in us. Jesus working in us. Because the older we get, the more we realize we really don't have any power. That it's only Jesus that has the power we need to thrive. If you're thriving without Jesus, you're not thriving. True thriving is only through Jesus, because we were created in whose image? God's, not the mirror's image, but God's image. And so the only way we can thrive is through Jesus. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's talk about how to keep your thrive alive. Because this is going to be through personal transformation through Jesus. And like most of us, the more you try to change you on your power, the more you realize how limited, in fact, you can't. Most of us have things we want to change. Maybe even all of us have things we want to change. And if you've been a Christian for a while, then that would be all of us. have things we want to change. And God is all for that. As long as it's on His terms, His power, and what He wants to do through us. So let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed, and that's the word we're going to focus on today, transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That's a very powerful verse. But I want to look at today the word transformed. That's a very powerful word. The Greek word for that word transformed, because the New Testament was originally written in Koine Greek. So when Paul wrote this letter in Greek, he used the word there, metamorpho. Metamorpho. This word sounds a lot like what in English? Metamorphosis. Exactly, because it is. The English word for metamorpho is metamorphosis. But because of our usage of the English language, dictionaries do not go back to the original word necessarily when they define it for the English user, but they do our contemporary use of English. And so our contemporary use is the word transformed. But what's really interesting about this word, transformed, even in English, is in the New Testament, it's only used four times. Once the word transform, three times the word transformed, and then this Greek word metamorpho not only is used those times, but also it's used three additional times. Metamorpho is used in the transfiguration of Jesus. So when Jesus appeared with the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, and who else was there besides Jesus? I should have asked the teen ministry for that, because this is a good question. It was Moses and Elijah. So Jesus, Moses, and Elijah were transfigured. Metamorpho, it's the exact same word as transformed, transfigured, metamorpho. And so what we get is we get the idea that in every single case that this Greek word is used, metamorpho, in the Bible, every case is a radical transformation of the person or the thing. It's not an easy word. It's so rare in the Bible that this word happens, metamorpho. It's so rare that it stands out. And when you look at these references, then it really stands out. So I'd like to review with you what these references are. And so here are the references of the English word transformed in the Job, but of course the Hebrew would have been used, and it goes back to that same idea of metamorpho in Greek. But the first usage is in Job 28:5. The earth from which food comes is transformed. Formed below as by fire. Now, if you're a scientist, something's going to really stand out here about this. When was Job written? We're not quite sure, but it was an awful long time ago. 3,000-4,000 years ago. Did they know about tectonic plates, tectonic recycling? Did they know how all this works? That the only way that the nutrients of the earth are going to get recycled is through plates diving under other plates, and then those plates keep diving into the inner workings of the earth where the magma just dissolves it and it turns into like a soup, and then the soup comes up through the volcanoes or other things. And so the earth is constantly being recycled. But what's the word that Job is using? Not recycled. He's using the word transformed. I'd say that's pretty radical, wouldn't you? The earth going down to melt and then coming up again as lava? Yeah, that's Pretty radical. What's the next usage? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not, again, another radical idea. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be metamorphosed. Be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what's being radically changed here? Your mind is being recycled, renewed, radically changed into a completely different mind. Again, this word is used so rarely in the Bible, and it's all in radical examples. So we have the first example is the earth recycling through the fire of the inner earth. The second example we see in Romans is the transformation that God intends our mind to have. And he says this is important because he finishes at the end of the verse. Then you will be able, in other words, if your mind is transformed, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, if this doesn't happen, will we even know what God wants? There's got to be a radical transformation of the mind for us to even know and understand God's will. So what's interesting is this is talking about the mind changing. When you go through the Greek lexicon of Greek words in the Bible, there's a word right next door to metamorpho. Can you take a guess what that word might be? The hint is Romans 12. Metamorpho, metanoia. Metanoia is the next Greek word. Metanoia means to radically change your meta, because this meta is change. Meta what? Metamorphosis is form of change. Metanoia is change your mind, your thinking, your thoughts, your being, your essence. Wow. The third example of transformation is in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. And it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. This is radical. What's it talking about here? That God's plan is to radically change your body into his body. When? On that last day. Then, in other words, on the last day, you're going to be completely transformed. But what's interesting is the transformation process starts a whole lot earlier than the last day. And that's where we get back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when we read this, now we'll know how radical Paul is by using this word metamorpho. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's read this starting in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being metamorphosed, transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, who comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. What's God's dream for your life? What's God's dream for my life? That we would be completely, radically changed into Jesus's image with ever increasing glory. Talk about choices we need to make in order to be radically transformed. This is going to take some pretty intense decisions on our part, because we can't do it on our power. We can't do it by our simple will. We can't do it by working out in a gym. We can't do it by some mind tricks or even by positive thinking. That's not going to work. The only way that this will work is by the power of God. The power of the Spirit. Bottom line, God wants us to be just like Jesus. You know, and we like to sing it, though. I want to be like Jesus deep down in my heart. I want to be like Jesus deep down in my heart. Say deep, deep, say down, down, say deep down in my heart. Woo! Deep, deep, say down, down, say deep down in my heart. Now we got to mean it. Have you ever sang songs and you're not thinking about the words? But God heard it. God's like, good, I'm going to make that happen. Let's go back to the context here, or one other word here, reflect. So, reflecting. We reflect the Lord's glory, or contemplate the Lord's glory. Okay, that Greek word, katotrizomai, literally means to mirror oneself, or to see a reflection, like you're looking in a glass of water and you see your reflection, or even if you're looking at glass and you see your reflection. That's what that word means. So God really wants us to actually reflect Jesus, to become like Jesus, so that we are Jesus. So that when we go out to make disciples of every nation, when we go out to share our faith, or we go out to serve our neighbor, or we go out to love those around us, that it's actually Jesus that people see. The goal is to thrive in Jesus. That Jesus is so alive in our lives, that Jesus is so alive in our intentions and in our choices, that we literally thrive with Jesus. That we no longer battle, but we thrive with Jesus. The context of this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll just read through this quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7, if you have your Bible and you want to look at the context of what Paul is talking about here, he compares it with Moses. 2 Corinthians 3, 7, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit, which is ours, be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? That's Jesus. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. That's when Jesus is thriving in you. You get bold because Jesus is living through you, and you want Jesus to live through you. And you're suddenly, your life goes from fear to boldness. From panic to excitement. That's God's plan. God wants us to have that full life, that full expression of life. It says in verse 14, or verse 13, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate or reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Moses was trying to be bold. Did it work? No, it was fading. He wasn't bold. We want to be bold. Will it work? Yes. If Jesus is thriving, absolutely. That will be the result. When Jesus thrives, you see the power of God, you see what's happening, and you just get bold. You just want to share it. You just want to be there. But this is a process. This isn't going to happen overnight. Because as even Paul said, this is a transformation process with ever increasing glory. What's the word Paul used in Greek? Metamorpho, a transformation process, to change from one form to another form, to transfigure with the divine brightness of Jesus into the same image that reflects Christ. And what's the result? You produce the same reflection as Jesus, and you become more and more like Jesus. Well, I'll be honest. This is an extremely painful process. I'm not sure if it... I wrote in my notes, it can be a painful process. I'm not sure that that's true. I think it actually is a painful process. As many of you know, I have been going through quite a few challenges, struggles. It has tested my faith, tested just about everything. I've been praying for healing, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental. The challenges have gotten so deep that I'm doing something I've never done in my life, and that's journal. Here's my journal book. Teresa put JWB on it in beautiful gold letters. And, you know, I'm not a journaler. I don't know how to journal. I don't know what to journal. But you know what? I just said I got to start writing. I got to just start writing. I got to get this written down somewhere, get it out of my heart, because some of this stuff is just disease in my heart. And I need to get it out of there. So I started journaling. And this is just one day's worth. But, you know, gratitude. I wrote down all the things I'm grateful for. That list obviously needs to expand. Just being real open with you guys. I put down promises because I need to camp out on those promises. They're my rock. I wrote down things that I want. Peace was one of them. Wrote down a scripture on that one. The mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Wrote down joy. That's something I want. Haven't written anything down on that yet. We're going to get there. Jesus, because I want Jesus. I want peace and joy in Jesus. So I wrote a couple great things down on that. Action, because I'm a guy who needs something to do. It's all about who to be, but it's going to help me to have things to do in addition to who to be. So I wrote some great things down on that one. Seek, because, of course, the promises are all about seeking the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek and you will find. Trust. First thing I wrote down was a song that we don't sing anymore, but it's a great song. It's called Trust and Obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I sing it and I struggle with it. So I'm working on getting my whole heart behind it. Desire. Yeah, I have some desires there. I had to write that down. Fears. Oh, boy. This was the longest list of all. See, this is a process. We're going to switch from the fears to faith, right? From the fears to promises. Roots, because all journaling, you want to go back to roots. What are the roots of some of these fears, some of the things that have gone on in your life? So I started writing down roots. Remember, just different things to remember. Just facts to remember. Faith. Wrote down faith because I need faith. Wrote down control. I mean, you know, anyway, you get the idea. In preparing this message, I struggled. Because God was showing me things through the scripture and through the whole idea of metamorphosis that I didn't like. God kept showing me just pain. So I think that metamorphosis I don't know that it is true that it can be a painful process. I think it actually is. At Thrive, I realized that I'm more like Jonah before the fish than even after. But with God, you can run, but you can't hide. And God always chases you down. And if I get swallowed by a fish, I get swallowed by a fish. But that's just where I'm at the moment. But I'm praying a lot. And I know that Jesus is working in me to change me in my heart because I believe in prayer. But I do find myself fighting him a lot. I'd really like that path and not that path. God always puts scriptures on my heart that really convict me. Do not choose the wide road that everybody's walking on. Choose the narrow road that no one's walking on. Can I choose that road one day at least? Can I, you know, have you thought that? Can I get a break today? I especially struggle with circumstances. I really would rather pray to change my circumstances than pray to change my heart, although I know that that's wrong. I need to pray to change my heart, not my circumstances. Different disciples have shared things that are pretty astonishing. George at one point shared, "But Jim, what is it that really needs to get healed here?" That was deep. Karen Sage shared with me, she goes, "But pain is part of the healing. You know, in fact, you shouldn't even want the pain to go away until you're 100% healed." You know, God is faithful. He speaks through disciples, friends, circumstances. He's not going to give up on us. I'm pretty sure that there's something you're working on. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one here going through this metamorphosis process. So in order to help us, and again, I thought of, you know, metamorphosis, you think of caterpillars and butterflies, right? So I found a couple of YouTube clips, and I watched the YouTube clip, and I felt so convicted. I didn't even want to think about it, but I thought, I think God's speaking through this, so I better show it. So here's the clip. I want you to listen to what they're sharing about, from a scientific perspective, what is happening here. Because, you know, everything in nature is an illustration for us of God and spiritual realities, right? The blue sky, white clouds, the fact that we live in this Goldilocks zone here on this earth, and the universe is hostile, and you know, all this stuff. So look at this clip. Hopefully the sound will work on this well. Are we ready? We don't have sound yet.
Their metamorphosis, their life cycle. How did this happen? This astonishing, remarkable transformation.
In a metamorphic insect, what you've got is two body plans. You have to first form one functional body plan, and then you have to switch gears, and you have to take and form a new body plan. I am amazed by development when it goes from egg to caterpillar, because it's such an intricate process. But then you have to enter into the chrysalis stage, and you have to get it right again. So it's like the problem squared.
You've got to get rid of or digest the caterpillar tissues. They won't work for the adult. In fact, the cells themselves disappear, but then their components are recycled and are turned into a kind of soup out of which the adult structures will be built. It's very carefully engineered. So you've got to know where you're going to end up before you start.
It's like a different organism. Transitions have to take place in the heart. Transitions have to take place in the antennae. Transitions have to take place in the reproductive organs.
You have to recreate adult legs, adult antennae, adult eyes. You have to change the shape of the brain and the connections between the antennae and the eyes. You have to reformat the gut so that it switches from eating plant material to eating nectar. You begin to see the depths of the problem So for evolution to have created this sort of pathway gradually, it would take a miracle.
How'd you feel watching that? Death is the pathway to... Ooh. I mean, there were some pretty amazing facts there. Everything has to be recreated. That God has... And what if? What if God has formed the metamorphosis process just for us? Just as an illustration for us, that that's what he wants to do in our life. That everything has to be reformed. The heart has to be completely reformed. The antennae. That every tissue has to be dissolved into a soup. Every cell has to be dissolved. That's amazing. That every cell disappears into this like soup of DNA. And then it has to completely reform a brand new creature from that base, that just DNA soup. The reproductive organs, new legs, new antennae, completely different brain, nerve connections. The gut has to be completely done. You know, scientists are baffled by this because you say, well, how did this happen through evolution? There's nothing. There's no transitory forms. This just is amazing. It happened just like this. It's a miracle. When you see the depth of engineering, the depth of artistry, the depth of wisdom, only God can do this. I had a talk with Tony Sage the other day, and he goes, you know, you have some choices there. You can ignore the pain. You can focus on the pain, or you can look through the pain to see what God is doing. Think, you know, if a caterpillar could feel what's going on, it would feel horrible. But if the caterpillar could see the end result, the masterpiece that God would produce through the transformation, then maybe the caterpillar would feel different. That's where we're at today, all of us. We have some opportunities. We don't have problems, we have opportunities. We don't have circumstances, we got opportunities. And it doesn't matter how bad or how not bad it is. God's going to use these opportunities to transform our lives. Because Jesus has designed us to perfectly thrive in this world. God is in control, and we are not. We need to keep the thrive alive. And in order to do that, that's going to be Jesus working in us to transform us, to metamorphosis our mind, our heart, our soul, our strength. Are we going to need encouragement? Oh, yeah. Do we have our network of encouragement? Oh, yeah. I'm so grateful for the life groups we have. Aren't you grateful for the life groups? These life groups are the perfect venue for us to say, this is what God is working on in my life. And please pray for me. I need some encouragement. This is our opportunity to encourage one another, to really step out there and say, let me encourage you, brother. Let me encourage you, sister. So I want to do something a little bit different. We're going to do this for 5 minutes. I want you to select somebody next to you, but not your marriage partner. Just one person. If it has to be three, it's fine. It can be two or three, but not four. But please try to not pick who you're married with. And I want to take about 5 minutes out to do what I call some good old-fashioned biblical fellowship, where we don't talk about sports or the weather or what we're going to eat today or even about anything else. But instead, what God has put on your heart that He wants to transform in your life. And then we can pray to be able to just share what God is working on for you, the opportunity that God is presenting to you for God to be glorified in your life, for the Spirit to transform you into Jesus's image with ever increasing glory. To be able to share your heart in this and to be able to then pray together. And then, of course, after that, we're going to continue to close out our service. So do you have that person selected? Can be anybody, any age. I really appreciate everybody praying fervently. In fact, so fervently it's hard to get out of prayer. Can I make a suggestion? Let me make a suggestion for those that I interrupted your prayer. I do apologize for interrupting the prayer, but I would like to make a suggestion for those who are still in prayer, that the service will end, but that does not mean your fellowship needs to end. So I would like to encourage you that if you didn't get to finish your prayer, if after the service ends, if you could just go back into prayer and finish that prayer and then continue with this style of fellowship. I think sometimes we need to be reminded what good biblical fellowship is all about. And so let this be a reminder that, honestly, after every service, I know that we have to put the chairs back. I know that. But I know we have to get the kids. I know that. I know you're hungry. But let's remember Mary and Martha. Let's prioritize what Jesus called better. And before we talk about sports or anything else in life, let's talk about what this service meant to you. And I'm not talking about just my message, please. James Dawson's message was amazing. And the worship was great. There's a lot to be grateful for. God moves through prayers, through music. He moves through sharing. He moves through life change and Scripture. So let's remember what good biblical fellowship is, that this is what we want to develop every Sunday. Amen.